Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's body care breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's O-S-E-A Malibu.com, code SUMMER.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Two Chunks and a Hunk, a movie podcast where we give pumps and dumps. Welcome to Two Chunks and a Hunk. My name is Jordan Wonders, and this week, I am your chunk.
I'm Doge, and Chunky, we're home.
And I'm Carter.
Supreme Leader, the fuel cells have ruptured. The collapse of the planet has hunk.
It's a pretty good Dom Gleason.
Not a bad Dommy.
I don't know.
Did it feel good to you when you did it?
No.
It felt good
wasn't
to me
that
from
water
over here.
High? I'll be honest with you. It wasn't Watto good.
Nothing's going to be the Watto.
It wasn't Watto
yeah,
good.
No, your Watto is like perfect.
Nothing's going to be the Watto.
Hey, Carter.
Ask it.
I noticed that you said you were the hunk.
That's right.
And
explain.
You haven't told us yet.
Chelsea and I, my wife that is.
Heard of her?
Oh, yeah.
We're in New York this last weekend.
Heard of it?
One of the, and this was great because Chelsea did this research and she loves me very much and knew I would love this. But she wanted us to stop in this place called, you ready? Posteritati in New York, in Lower Manhattan.
Okay.
Posteritati is an old movie poster gallery.
Whoa.
Where they sell old movie posters. Now, this is not like reprints. These are movie posters that were given to the theaters.
Origies. Very cool. Wow.
And they had so much, y'all. We could have been there a long time. We were actually there for a while. You kind of go up to this computer, look through their database, favorite some items, say, these are the ones I want to see, and then decide if you want to buy one. And so we've been needing something art-wise in our house. And so what we landed upon was a 1967 original Bonnie and Clyde poster.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, that's so cool.
It's super cool. Super cool. And I'll show you guys a picture in a little bit. But really, it's a great movie. I don't know if you've seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a character in Bonnie and Clyde called CW. Which was great.
That's your name.
That's us.
Mm.
It's me and Chelsea both are.
Yeah.
Even before she was W. Bonnie and Clyde, did you know they're from, like, they lived in Dallas?
Yes.
No.
They're even from Oak Cliff.
Wait, really?
This very neighborhood that we're sitting in right now, where I currently live. So that's super cool. And so it's got the tagline that says, they're young, they're in love, and they kill people. And it's just, it's perfect. It's really, really cool.
That's awesome.
Pretty artsy of a movie poster. It's definitely like late 60s. But we grabbed that. And it's going to be something that we remember for a long time. But we're excited for that to kind of start putting some stuff on our walls.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
They had a bunch of cool stuff, too. They had stuff from all over the world. So you would get things like My Fair Lady in Japanese, like the Japanese poster.
Talked about My Fair Lady almost more than any other movie?
Isn't that amazing? My Fair Lady is brought up almost every month.
That is weird.
Yeah.
I don't know why that happens.
I guess we probably ought to review that episode, huh? Or that movie.
There's another movie I'd rather talk about.
Is it My Fair Lady 2?
Yes.
Too Fair, Too Lady?
Too Fair, Too Lady.
Just Tokyo You Wait Lady. Again, Henry Higgins.
Tokyo Lady.
Lady Drift. is that what Peach is doing when you hold the jump button? Uh-huh. She like floats on Smash?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was going to say it's what Peach does when you hit the shoulder button and Ha-cha! Swing around a corner in Mario Kart.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Let's just talk about Mario Kart for the rest of the episode.
Hey, just bought it for Switch. Mario Kart 8! And it's very good. Oh, that poster is sweet.
Oh, that is really cool.
Yeah, so very excited about it.
I don't know why I said that as though I assumed you were lying about
it. Oh, you know what? That is actually cool. That looks good.
Earlier, I thought it was dumb.
No,
that's great. That's super cool. Hey, we're talking about a movie today. Let me tell you something. Before we reveal the name, because you definitely don't know it yet, right? This is what I've been the most nervous about since we started.
Explain.
I think this is where we get actually spicy between the three of us and probably with viewer opinion as well.
Yep.
Because I think this is, I know the prequels had their own divisiveness among the viewership, but this has had its own sort of divisiveness. And I think that it's, I don't know.
I don't feel like we can use the same excuses that we did with the prequels. Like, prequels have a certain charm to me because I grew up on them.
Sure.
And so I forgive shortcomings.
Sure.
I find myself being much less forgiving with these, even though it perhaps should be.
And I think that's where I'm coming from right now is I think that this is a time for us to step back, metaphorically shake hands and say, gentleman's game.
Let's shake hands right now in the middle of the table. Three-way handshake.
Gentleman's game.
Gentleman's game.
I think there's a good chance we're going to have some pretty different opinions on these.
Is it going to get any more polarizing than Phantom and Revenge of the Sith?
Maybe.
Wait till 2 weeks from now, man.
It could have its moments. It could, but and I don't even necessarily mean just at this table. I mean, we could be treading on some stuff that people love in ways that we don't love it.
Getting to our first zero download episode here in a couple of weeks.
Who knows?
Piss the wrong people off.
So, zero.
Not even us. I guess what I'm saying is I feel the weight of the sequel trilogy right now. Like, on my shoulders.
I think we feel it a little bit more than from the beginning is because we've gone through all of them.
Right.
Now we're on 7, right?
So it's like we've got a backlog.
Yeah, for sure.
And now we're carrying that around in the backpack a little bit. So
yeah.
All that to say, the movie we're discussing today is, of course, Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Everybody wake up. If you're living with your eyes closed.
I think it's so perfect that they put that Dave Matthews song on the call.
Yeah,
instead of the Star Wars theme. It's a bold choice, but it really
is. Yeah, the part where it's like, hike up the Force a little more.
Goodness me.
And then when Rey turns on her lightsaber, it's like,
I'm not afraid. Gonna find you in the snowfall.
She wake up in the morning.
What are we doing? Synopsis and get us out.
Is it because we're nervous?
Hole. Maybe.
Is it because we're nervous? We're like,
is that what we're known for doing?
Quick,
nervous?
Climb into our Dave hole. And here we emerge from our Dave hole into the light.
Like a newborn Dave.
Like a newborn Davey. A Davey boy.
Goodness me.
Doge. Will you deliver unto us?
I just imagine like Dave Matthews out of the womb, just like, wah, wah, wah. I'm sorry.
He's just like, wipe me. No.
Stop. Time for the synopsis.
Like a baby.
Yep.
Give it to us.
Today's synopsis is from a mystery IMDb user. Let's call him Dave Matthews.
Yep. Let's.
Dave Matthews writes, when critical information is placed into a simple droid, both the evil First Order and the heroic Resistance go searching for it. Then something neither of them planned for happens. Rey, a scavenger from the planet Jakku, finds the droid and keeps it as her own. Finn, an ex-stormtrooper who hopes to leave his past behind him, crosses paths with her and breaks the news of what exactly the importance of the droid is. Next thing either of them know is that they are on the run in order to withhold the droid from the First Order. They meet a pair of old buddies, and after a few skirmishes between them and the determined First Order, the droid is brought to the Resistance base. There, multiple plans are hatched against the First Order while the secret information on the droid is slowly and surely working itself out. I've never read a synopsis where it was more clear that they wrote, like, most of it, and they were like, man, I'm tired of writing this synopsis.
Yeah.
The last sentence is basically, and then some more stuff happens.
Some other stuff happens on this movie.
Wait, it's over.
It's over. That's the whole thing.
Okay. Wait, really?
That's the whole thing.
That's it.
That's it. Dave Matthews got so tired of writing that synopsis.
We had to go write some other songs.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
That's The Force Awakens.
It really basically is. And I think we should maybe talk about it. So here's what I want to know. All of us saw this movie in theaters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's just...
I was sitting right next to you, I think.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Did you go with us to this?
I saw it multiple times. There's a chance I was there.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah. I don't remember.
So what were... Do you remember how it felt? Mm-hmm. Like opening
I've never
crawl?
Been more nervous and then felt more like I just won something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's that feeling of like, oh my gosh, they're going to mess it up. Oh my gosh, they're going to mess it up. And then it starts. And then while the crawl is happening, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Star Wars.
It's, yeah. Yeah. And it, I remember the opening notes and
yeah.
The crawl and just being
people
like,
people cheered. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Was,
I remember watching it again. It's not the second time I've watched it. I mean, this is multiple, but
yeah,
watching it this most recent time, I really, really vividly remembered all the times people were cheering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Han and Chewie. And yeah, yeah, there's yeah, so much yeah. stuff. So much
there
is, stuff.
Do you feel like watching it now, do you feel like there's an element of like hold for applause in some of these shots?
I do.
The Han and Chewie thing really feels like they edited in like a hold for applause.
I do,
and
yeah.
then continue.
Yeah. I think I'm okay with that.
I think I am too.
Yeah.
It's weird. It lends it like a stage element yeah. in a way.
Right. And I think the reason I'm okay with it is it's like, it's Star Wars. Like
you
I
know earned it a little
a
bit.
Excuse, but it's yeah. like, yeah, I think if anyone can do that, it's this series.
Yeah. I think I agree with you.
That might be the only time I think of it though, really with Han and Chewbacca. I don't yeah. know if there's other moments, but that was huge.
I remember specifically, Rey using the Force to get the lightsaber in the woods, people lost their minds.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like I remember people going absolutely nuts yes, at that yeah, point.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
So, should we start at the beginning?
Yes. Let's.
Let's talk
Great
about that.
Place to start.
First thing, our boy Poe talking to Max von Sydow's character.
Yep.
Whose name escapes me because
Lor San Tekka.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's rather short lived.
Yes.
Lor San Tekka yeah. is.
Yeah. This hey, will begin to set things right. You feel like it's a meta commentary on the prequels? That's the first line in this movie.
I think it could be.
I really think that it is.
I think it could be.
A meta line to the audience.
I feel like JJ would do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels within the realm of possibility, certainly. I love Poe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Very much.
Oscar Isaac is amazing.
He is very, the best. Okay, he's, this isn't to demean him by any means. Because he's overall fantastic.
Right.
He is the best, like, cockpit actor of the entire
yeah.
series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Completely agreed.
He is so in it. And do you think, though, what he get? Okay, as we watch some of the actors in this, do you think they really get to feel the weight that we should have seen from people in the prequels? Like, I'm in a Star Wars movie.
I think so. Out. Yeah, I do yeah. think that. It
right?
seems like, it
they
seems
don't
like they're
feel
like,
tired.
I'm here now.
They don't feel sleepy.
I mean, I just watched yeah. the first three movies, and now I'm watching these, and I'm like, oh. They're in character.
And, yeah. And I yeah. feel
they're
like
acting.
Yes.
Well, I feel like the word I would use to describe a lot of this movie, especially in relation to the originals, is gravitas. Mm-hmm. Like so much of this movie feels like it was designed to hit like a truck. It feels like like blasters are louder,
yeah.
explosions yeah. are bigger, ships are louder and rumble more, and lightsabers are brighter, and I don't know, it's just bigger.
Sound design on the lightsabers has changed quite a bit.
I yeah.
I noticed that.
It's yeah. like yeah. thick. It's uh-huh. like a beefy
yeah,
sound.
I definitely did more after y'all had talked about even the little things of we don't really see a glow hardly ever.
Yeah.
Except definitely in the new ones.
And there's a lot of glow, mm-hmm. and I'm here for
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
I like it. So, one of the other characters we meet right off the bat is BB-8.
Yep.
Do we have any thoughts on BB-8 as a group?
My right. wife loves right. BB-8 maybe more than she loves me.
Yeah.
She I could not stop talking about how
I love BB-8 very much.
Yeah. BB-8's really good.
Yeah.
I love BB-8. And I don't think you get to just say, I don't say, okay, it's fine if you say this. Love what you love.
Sure.
I don't think he's just, I mean, yes, he plays the role of kind of an R2.
Sure. Character. But it's different.
But droids, I think that's assumed. Some people didn't like that. Like the people that come in and say it's a carbon copy of A New Hope.
Right.
Right. There's a lot of truth to that.
Sure.
There's a lot of truth to that. And the same people that are like, I mean, it's like what Avatar did to Pocahontas. The exact same
yeah,
story.
Yeah. I'd say it's probably less a carbon copy of A New Hope and more like we're playing with the same archetypes.
Yeah.
Like we have a Han Solo archetype and we have a like.
Well, but playing they all break, though.
They do.
Which
it's
is great.
Not
Poe is not the, like, uh-uh. winging, wise talk. Like, he's sweet from the beginning. Like, yeah, we great. See that in him.
It's so
yeah.
good. But yeah, all that to say, I love BB-8. I really do.
I love BB-8.
There's yeah, a BB-8's super, great. There's a super compelling argument to be made. I saw it in, I read it. And then I also saw it in a YouTube like video essay months ago. Oh, I don't remember who it was. And that's going to drive me crazy. I'm going to link it in the show notes.
Okay.
The compelling argument to be made is that this movie in Act 1, 2, and 3, Act 1 is Episode 4 condensed, Act 2 is Episode 5 condensed, and Act 3 is Episode 6 condensed.
How
and so we have
a
flight from a desert planet with a droid carrying secret information.
Right.
And then that kind of ends that act. Our middle part is we go to, Han goes to an old friend for help, which is, instead of Lando, it's Maz. And then our hero from the desert planet seeks a spiritual mentor, which is Maz again, doing double duty as Lando and Yoda here. Then the Empire arrives and kind of busts everything up. The third act is a ground battle to disable a shield generator so that the space forces can destroy, quote, another Death Star.
Right. Yeah.
I think that tracks really well.
It does track really well.
That makes sense to me.
And now I think when we start to get info like this, we've talked about in the prequels and maybe even in the middle and in the OGs 4 through 6, that there is this thing that a lot of the Star Wars gravitas can come from the fans and what they create in terms of theory.
Yes, absolutely.
But in the Force Awakens, I start to think, well, those fans are on the crew. Like these, I can think more and more that was intentional.
Sure.
With stuff like that. Absolutely.
Now, speaking of fans on the crew, the other thing I wanted to talk about with BB-8 is who did the sound design.
Yep.
Do you know this?
No.
Ben Schwartz and Bill Hader.
They were consultants for his voice.
They wrote and read like English dialogue with the inflections they wanted him to have. And then a crew came behind and just made it droid noises instead. That's why he's so like fun and has such personality.
That's the kind of stuff.
It's John Ralphio and Stefan.
Oh my God. It's like when, like I love when he is so personable. We talked about how R2 is some of the best acting.
Right.
In some of the older ones. But like when they're on the sand dunes and Ray says, okay, you can follow me to BB-8. And he's like, wow.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Love that.
Here's
so
the thing.
Much.
I'm glad you're bringing that up. Here's what I'm noticing while I'm watching back through. I'm fully blasting off into Star Wars.
What does that mean?
I'm just in. Like, I'm watching Clone Wars right now. We're watching The Mandalorian at home.
Yeah.
And I found myself watching 7, and I've seen 7 a lot. I found myself watching it and going, I see you. I see what you are. I see your flaws, and I don't care.
Yeah, I found that a lot more, too. I think the first time I watched it, I was completely blown away.
Same.
Just like, oh my gosh, this is not a prequel. This feels like a real movie.
Right.
And not like a stuffy prequel.
Yeah.
The second time I watched it, I went, oh man, like it's good, but it still feels it feels 2015. Feels Marvel-y in some instances. Huh. The third time I watched it, I was like, man, this really, really feels like, this feels like a modern movie. Yeah. And now this time as I'm watching it, I don't think this is the fourth time I've seen it, but this is the...
Sure. The fourth phase.
This time as I'm watching it, it's The Force Awakens. This time as I'm watching
very
it,
very good.
I find that I don't care. Like,
same,
the lightsabers
man.
Are a little different, sound a little different, and ships fly a little different. And like, we're using camera tricks that we didn't use in the 70s, but so what? Like,
right.
It's not the 70s. It's 2015.
And if you're going to copy
Star Wars,
something that is successful.
Yeah.
Marvel's the way to go right now, dude.
Like, it feels like relationships I've had with like a new car or a new house. It's like,
man,
I miss that closet space.
Yeah.
You know, but then I'm like, boy, was it worth it for this kitchen? You know,
right,
it's just like,
right.
It's very much like that to me.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, and I'll say it now. I mean, because they do a great job of introducing characters.
They do. Yes, very much.
This is what good directing looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Like just the way these characters interact, all that stuff almost was my just collective super pump, but it felt too lazy just to be like, wow, how invested everybody is. Right
sure.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then can we talk about Kylo coming out of the ship?
Let's talk about Kylo coming out of the ship.
Yeah. This is excellent.
Is there a scarier introduction of a character in all of Star Wars?
I don't know.
Darth Maul's pretty scary.
Darth Maul's scary, but
he looks like Satan.
But the first time
we meet him in like a hologram, barely in the background, that is pretty terrifying.
It is terrifying, but the first time we meet him, he's not doing anything. Kylo storms out of a ship.
This one's intimidating.
Freezes a blaster bolt in midair, shoots off this lightsaber we've never seen the likes of before. Yeah. I mean,
I mean, Vader's intro in A New Hope is also pretty scary.
You're absolutely right. And I think they mirror each other in a lot of ways. It's just this horrifying black cloaked figure.
Here's something I can give Adam Driver. And this is going to just be kind of an Adam Driver fangirl club for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Hey, you and me both, champ.
6 weeks, 5 weeks. Yeah. Some number of weeks.
My goodness gracious. He doesn't take his helmet off until 90 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just about.
And he's great. Mm-hmm. I know a lot about Kylo Ren before he starts talking. Mm-hmm. Like the way he walks down that ramp. And he's just so aggressive. The way he...
Everything
was
he does.
Was that Adam Driver's call to unsheath his saber that way?
I don't know. Like the heavy thing.
Just down. It's down. It's always down and out. Like it is amazing. Yeah. I just love the way he moves. I think it's so good.
So just so I don't have to find a time to sneak it in later. Kylo Ren is my super pump.
Okay. Sure.
And I'm going to talk about him more. And I just don't want to find out now's the time to spring the trap.
Yeah.
He's my super. I love Kylo Ren so freaking much.
Yeah.
I love Adam Driver as Kylo Ren. I think Kylo is very scary and then all of a sudden very humanized and very compelling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love.
Star Wars has not ever really done sympathetic villain.
I know.
Kylo stands out, I think, from Vader and from, I guess, whoever the villain of the prequels would be.
Yeah.
Palpatine, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's strange, right?
Yeah.
To be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
He's just a big kid.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And there's a certain thing that happens. I have this reaction and it happened when Kylo Ren stops the bullet basically in midair. When he does that, and we've barely mentioned it, but when he does it, there's this thing that is, I'm equally shocked and impressed and I can point to it, but it's when I go, oh,
right.
Yeah. Yep.
And I do that every time I see that scene.
Yes.
There's the stuff, another thing that I could think of, and here's Fast and Furious reference again.
Yep.
When The Rock
flexes his castle.
Yes. When he lassos a helicopter.
Stuff like that
is full of those moments. But
right.
Kylo is, he has, in a terrifying way, gained my respect within a minute of him being on screen.
Right. And
yeah,
we also meet Finn here in this scene as well. Just we don't really know it yet.
Man, he's good.
He's really good. And it's funny watching through Clone Wars right now. One of the clones named Fives gets a blue handprint. It's blue alien blood gets a handprint on his chest in one of the first episodes.
Yep. Yep.
And his name is Fives. And he's got this blue hand five on his chest, and watching the hand wipe the three marks across Finn's forehead. I was like, same.
Yep. Pretty smart way to mark him.
Yes.
To make sure we can follow him amidst all of the clones. I mean, well, not clones, but they all look the same.
Yes.
So I thought that was really smart.
And then we go to the ship before we go to Rey, right? We go to the ship and we see Finn take his helmet off.
I think so. I don't know that it super matters.
Well, it only matters because I wanted to talk about Captain Phasma for just a second and what a waste of a character. Who? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So Phasma looks cool. Gwendolyn Christie is a great actress.
They don't give Gwendolyn anything to do in this. Gwen's great. They don't give her anything to do in this.
Yeah.
Well, Gwendolyn... she's got some bad endings in her history of.
It's true.
Yeah. So.
It's true.
Yep. Yep.
Her armor's dope though. So
armor's dope.
I'll give her that. Let's talk about Rey.
Yeah.
Super pump.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hear that.
Daisy Ridley as Rey is. Oh. My goodness gracious.
How many teeth she got up in that head though?
That's okay.
So many teeth.
It's really good.
She is so good.
She's. Yeah.
Rey is really well acted.
She's so well acted.
Her theme song. Is one of my, the little
So John Williams is a lot more motific in this one. Meaning he's working with a lot shorter melody lines that he's repeating. It's more of a modern blockbuster style where it's just a couple of notes that he repeats over and over again rather than a long continuous theme. Think of Yoda's theme. That takes a minute and a half to get through all the movements of Yoda's theme before we've gone through it once.
Right.
Yeah.
And Rey's theme takes 20, you just sang Rey's
right
theme,
yeah,
and that's it, and it just does that over and over and over again and builds in layers and layers and layers.
Yeah.
Actually don't love the music in this one as much as the others because it is motific and more modern.
I can see that. It's not nearly as memorable
as
some of the others.
Some of it is for me though. There were songs that as they came up I was like, I feel like if I had watched them as many times as I had watched the other Star Wars, they would be there.
That,
you know?
First Order march that starts with that huge tritone awesome.
I was going to say, I hear where you're coming from. It's not nearly as iconic, certainly, but I really, really love John Williams score for this.
Yeah. I mean, it's excellent. I mean, John Williams was my super pump last week.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
John Williams is like pizza. Like even bad John Williams is better than anything else you could have.
Right. Yes. No, that's a great point.
So we talk about a uniqueness of the sequel trilogy, right? These certain things that they get to play with. Something that J.J. Abrams does a brilliant job of is what we have never really had, except maybe in the originals, but then it's tough because they're outside of time, right?
Right.
Four, five, and six are like, it just happened. I mean, what's happening? It's amazing. Anything that's new is going to be fantastic in this world. Is he gets to... We're more on the edge of our seat as an audience because we have no idea what's going to happen. You talk about the nervousness.
Yeah.
Because I know when Phantom Menace starts and I start reading that crawler, I'm going to see a lot of familiar faces.
Sure.
Yeah. Even though they do that in our sequel trilogy, something that he does, which is so great, is he leaves a lot unknown for a while.
Sure.
For a lot of our starters. If you can think about it, Rey, Finn, and Kylo Ren, we don't see their faces the first time we see them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Their faces are all covered. And that just felt like just this like nucleus of what he was doing with these characters. Mm-hmm. No idea.
Sure.
And there's stuff about them. It was a big tease that we didn't know Kylo Ren's parents. We know that pretty soon.
Sure. Yeah.
We still technically don't know going into Rise of Skywalker, who the parents are for some of our other, like for our protagonists, which seems to mean a lot to me. We never knew about Han, but I think we weren't supposed to.
Right.
Right. And he's going to get his own movie soon. And even then, like his heritage doesn't really get talked about because it doesn't need to be. He's a very in the moment kind of character. But that's one of the things I loved about Rey's intro, too. And I didn't even think of it until we see her for the first time.
Yeah.
Scavenging through a fallen. AT-AT,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
So I think we introduced them masked for a very specific reason. It's because the whole like theme of this movie is about kind of the difference between like, here's who I believe I am and here's who I actually am. Here's
sure.
who I'm supposed to be, and here's who I actually am. And we see that in our, I would say, in this movie at least, Rey and Finn and Kylo are our three protagonary forces.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Rey is obviously the clear protagonist.
Protagonical
forces. Right. Yeah. Professor Protagonical from Hogwarts.
There
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. Protect your main characters. So, yeah, I was talking to Callie about sort of just similar things, like just the way that the three trilogies are similar and different. And here's where I landed. And the more I've thought about it and sat on it, I really like thinking of them this way. And it's helped me digest some stuff that I was thinking of. To me, they're like burgers. I love burgers. They come in a lot of different forms and I like most of them. The original trilogy is like this diner burger that's just sort of like bare bones and dirty and greasy and awesome. Nothing special. Delicious.
Yeah.
The prequels are a Big Mac. They're mass produced. And it's just kind of, you know, fast food.
You can like feel it in the side of your stomach too. It like makes you feel.
Still a burger. Still would eat one if you handed it to me. Not going to complain about it. But then you have the sequel trilogy, which to me feels like a very millennial style burger on like a brioche with like a fried egg and avocado slice. It's like, it's just got some extra fancy stuff and some people don't need that. Some people don't want that.
Mm.
I love that type of burger personally.
Yeah, I have a completely invert your prequel and your sequel reads. And that's what I've got.
Really?
Sequels to me, like we talked about earlier, like the Marvelizing of it. Like,
right.
I don't feel like that super lands a lot of places. And it's the same thing that happened to Marvel. I think they've kind of corrected a little bit.
Sure.
But after the first Guardians of the Galaxy came out, there was a couple of movies right in a row where it was like everything had to be a Chris Pratt joke.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, that's not what these are.
Right.
And they haven't been that mm-hmm. and they don't need to be that.
Right.
But so much of the sequels to me feels mass produced and feels like, and I know the whole thing is like Star Wars has always been designed to sell toys, but right. like, BB-8 is made to be a toy. You know what I mean? And, you know, sequels feel a little more mass produced to me than something like the prequels, which are from an independent. I mean, they're independent films as much as Lucasfilm distributed by Fox can be independent. It's not owned by a huge company.
Right, right.
And it's an auteur vision. It's one guy who is like, this is what they are. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry, they're not for you. And unfortunately for him, not a lot of people liked it. The sequels to me feel a lot more mass produced and there's a lot more cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. You know what's funny about you talk about the humor stuff and I think the humor stands out more when the jokes land. I think it was delivered better
yeah.
in the sequels and actually made you laugh and be like, maybe think it was inappropriate at the moment when I think there were as many attempts in the other movies and they just sucked. I think
That's fair.
How heavy-handed C-3PO is in the other six movies is trying to be really funny, and it just doesn't land. Yeah. And I think in this one, we got people that were pretty actually naturally charismatic from the start.
Yeah.
They didn't have to grow into charisma.
That's fair. This is much better acted. So maybe it does feel like there's more
jokes. I agree with all the other stuff too, but just for some of this, and I bring that up because this watch, because that's how I felt initially.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's too funny. Mm. Like when Poe is like, who's going to talk first? Do you talk first?
Right.
I was like, you know what though? That's what Han was supposed to be.
Right.
If you're a wisecracker, you wisecrack when it's inappropriate.
Well, that's like Han in the trash compactor saying, Luke saying, how are we getting out of this? And Han goes, I don't know, but we're sure going to be a lot thinner.
Yeah.
That doesn't land.
Right.
Like nobody laughs at that.
Right.
Right.
But and then it happened. And then now you're like, oh, this is uncut. Right.
Exactly.
It's interesting. And that's, I do love that about Star Wars. We talk about movies as an art in general.
Yeah.
So it's going to have a different feel anytime you watch any movie, especially as you grow up.
Sure.
Yeah. But Star Wars is so full of it, and I love that. That's why I love these conversations of like, what's your perspective the fourth time you watched it?
Right.
Because it totally changes.
Yeah, and I think I agree. Doge, I hear you completely, and the humor just, it bothered me the first time. Like, I walked away being like, ugh, that felt like, I don't know what a good example would be. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a Marvel movie that came out shortly after that. I was like, yeah, too funny. Maybe Ultron. Yeah.
Age of Ultron for sure.
Ultron. I was like, too funny. And I think I felt that a little the first time that I watched this movie.
It's not Ragnarok, right? It didn't lean in.
No. It's like right.
There's a history of this director.
But it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
This time.
Yeah.
Watching it. I mean, I think of John Boyega being like, you got a boyfriend? What's his deal? Like,
yeah,
I could take or leave that moment.
Well, and then there's space for that kind of stuff. That's the thing about learning, watching through is like Star Wars is big enough for all of that.
Right.
There's space for that in Star Wars.
Well, and that's my thing is like, for me personally, if that's not in there, the movie doesn't change at all.
Yeah,
sure.
But it doesn't bother me necessarily.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I've landed there because I think I wasn't there prior to maybe this viewing even.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful to have hopefully, fingers crossed, landed in that spot.
Yeah. Can we please talk about the escape from Jakku?
Yeah. Let's talk about the escape from Jakku. So we meet, sorry.
I'm fine.
Oh, I thought I kicked you really hard. Did I not?
No, I'm fine.
Let's talk about that. Unkar
Plutt.
Simon Pegg. Uh-huh. So crazy.
Real good.
But yeah, he's giving out portions, half portions, and Rey's like, nah, I'm out of here.
That's kind of a fun little effect too. The half portion to bread.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fun.
I loved that.
Real time practical effect.
That's what I thought.
Real time?
It looked amazing.
Yes. Yep.
How?
Don't know. It's like they vacuum the water out and like puff up the bread.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
What? Yep.
Uh-huh. Amazing. It's crazy.
No. That's crazy. Fast forwarded or reversed or something. They dissolved it with acid.
Nope. It's not.
Amaze.
It's a real time practical effect.
I don't understand.
Yep. I mean, just like Unkar Plutt himself is a real time practical effect.
May as well have just told me lightsabers exist. CG,
but that's Simon Pegg in a costume.
Right. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
And the big.
So much
like,
of this stuff. Like, we really don't get many CG aliens until we get to Maz.
Right. Yeah. And well, the big hog thing that's drinking.
Of aliens, we also don't get any Star Wars aliens besides Chewie and Ackbar and Lando's co-pilot, who I was corrected on and don't remember his name. Nian Num. The only Star Wars aliens we get are Chewie, Ackbar, and Nian Num.
It's a lot of new character design.
Yeah. Right? We don't get any Twi'leks. We don't get any Bith. We don't get any Ithorians. We don't get any Rodians.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Which is weird, right?
I wonder if the answer
like
is
we should have some of those.
Different corner of the galaxy this time.
Well, it feels like they should be in the Resistance, though.
Sure.
Right?
No, I completely
agree.
Closely
tied with the Rebels and that kind of corner.
If you count a human as an alien, we get a lot of those.
Well, yeah, that's true. I guess they are technically aliens. Single one of these boys or girls was born on Earth.
Aren't
that's
we
true.
All? I was going to make a joke about the big hog drinking water being played by Pumbaa, but the moment's passed, so I won't even bring it up anymore.
It would have been good, though.
It would have been good when I had planned to say it, not like what I just did. So Finn lands.
Yep.
In his Poe. Oh, Poe helps Finn escape. We should have said that. That's important because I think it characterizes Poe immediately as different than Han.
Well, and then being in the TIE fighter and stuff that had the bicycle lock still on it, like that was really cool.
Yeah.
Like that, all of that is just great.
It's awesome.
Because this felt like some we really got into, and we had a lot of opportunities in the other movies, but we started to get into like the technicality of like the First Order, of like the bad guys.
Right.
Like a little bit more behind the scenes, which of course you get that with a stormtrooper like in the field.
Yeah.
But it's just like we're starting to see that world a little bit and it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I do love that. Well, Finn and Rey run away. Wow, that's a tough sentence.
Finn and Rey run away.
Their relationship, their interaction is my super pump.
Yeah.
They have unbelievably good chemistry together.
They're same very age. Good. They're like a month apart. Those two actors.
They are so, so good together.
They're really good.
Which makes the next one so heartbreaking for me to watch. Their interactions are my favorite part of this movie.
Yeah.
You're saying makes the last, because they're like not
they
together,
don't see
basically.
Each other the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is tough.
Before we go run away to a place that I think we're wanting to run away to.
Right sure. Now,
We need to point out the significance of Rey saying to him, this was a funny part, but there's a lot of significance to, I don't need you to hold my hand.
Yes. So that's one of the reasons I love Rey so much.
I love it. I love it. And this is such a heroine. This is a blatant saying, hey, that's just not how this works.
Yeah.
I can take over. I'm going to be the guy. The person, the girl, like to go out and
the go-to.
And it's funny because he keeps doing it. Like, obviously he's way more terrified than she is. And she starts to show some ability. We're going to see in a little bit, she starts to use the force. But I did not, at first I thought it came out of nowhere when I saw the movie, but it starts to make more sense as to maybe the kind of sense that she has in agileness. And when she gets to the Millennium Falcon a little bit, I'm getting ahead of myself, but
no, that's good.
Yeah.
Because
I saw it.
I think the best place to land us is that they do find the Millennium Falcon while they're running away.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people have a problem with the coincidence of this. I just don't care. I'm glad it's there.
It's fine.
I want it to be there.
If you have that's one of the things that irritated me the most about people, especially getting upset about The Force Awakens, is if you are getting upset at the kind of things that you should have been upset a long time ago.
Well, yeah, if we're upset with that coincidence, how come we're not upset that Vader boards the Tantive IV right above Tatooine and Luke and 3PO and R2 land right where they're going to get picked up by the Jawas that Luke happens to go to buy them?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, welcome to storytelling.
That's it. That's how it happens.
Yeah. That's not just a Star Wars thing. Thank you for saying that. Welcome to storytelling. Like, then if you want something about average life, watch. Even documentaries don't do that.
Go outside. Yeah.
Dude, just live your life and don't watch movies. Why are you watching movies if you don't like happenstance?
Yeah. Well, I'd rather see a 4-hour scene where they search through the junkyard to find the buried Millennium Falcon. Get out of here.
Yeah.
It was awesome. They take the Millennium Falcon. They do the coolest flight I've ever seen in Star Wars up to this point.
Really cool. It's pretty amazing.
It's so good.
When she stalls the engine to flip it.
My heart pounds every time.
Cool. It's so good.
And they escape to space where they're picked up by who knows who. I do, but I'm not going to tell you yet, because first we're going to go to shout announcements. Welcome to shout announcements. It's the part of the show where we give shout outs
and it scared me.
Make announcements. I'll go first for a change. I want to give a shout out to Carter Station. It's where we are right now at Carter's house. Thanks for letting us record here and providing a delicious and nutritious meal of Oreos and Doritos.
Shout out to Dorito stuffed Oreos.
Oh no. It's Nachorios.
No, they're all bad. Both of those are bad.
Oh man. We also want to give a shout out to Podbean.
To Oreo Loco Taco.
Because we pay him money. We put stuff on them, mostly our podcasts. That's podbean.com.
And your second and best shout out portion of this little break in our good show.
It's like the person stumbling down the stairs, but never falling down is what that felt like. I was like, oh God. Oh, he's gone. He gone. Oh, okay.
Goes to a listener of the show.
Oh my gosh.
And Tiskana, and what has happened is, see,
Katie, you sent us a message. Thank you so much. It was very sweet. And we sent you a message back.
Thank you. And you're welcome.
Katie, you're the best. Also, shout out to those of you that have rated and reviewed this podcast.
Speaking of the worst,
sleep with one eye open.
Or two. Don't sleep.
No, I won't get back into that. I don't want to.
Yeah, that's fine.
Full dark side.
It's a real dark. Dark place to go in 2019.
We are looking for a full milli though.
Looking for 1 million reviews. No, we're trying to get 300 by the beginning of March, when the window opens up again for us to put in our Rotten Tomatoes critic application.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they say about the window?
Tell me.
Window is coming.
Window is coming. I love it.
No.
Give him that. That was hilarious.
No.
No.
That's so funny. Also, a shout out to Story Shape Live. It is well on its way. Keep an eye out for that. We've got a little special contribution there.
Yeah.
So don't just listen to it for us, though. After that first 3 minutes. Keep going.
We're the least interesting part of those episodes.
Absolutely.
Interesting part of our episodes.
Nope. Yes.
But also the most interesting.
Probably.
We're the only thing on our episode.
Strangely, the most medium interesting. Back to the show. So Han and Chewie show up.
Speaking of Chewie, I am chewing my Oreo Loco taco.
That makes sense now as to why you did
that. Right into the microphone.
Also, we're back. Forgot to say that. But we are.
We are back. We're home,
Chewie. Chewie, we're home. Hey. He's old.
Oh my goodness gracious.
How is he older here than in Blade Runner?
Because he didn't want to be here and he wanted to be a Blade Runner.
That's probably right. It's good to have him back for me. I enjoy especially the presence of Chewie in this movie.
Yep.
Yeah. I like Chewie.
I love Harrison Ford. Here's what's tough. I have a hard time believing that this man has that taxing of a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is hard to believe.
Where's the space recliner?
Seeing I know there's Harrison a space recliner. Ford back is a little bit to me like if 60 years from now, I saw my favorite band playing at a casino.
Sure.
My favorite band from now.
Yeah, like Mumford & Sons.
Mumford & Sons, exactly. My very favorite band of all time. Can't get enough of that 1864 County Fair sound. If I saw my favorite band
then it would be Mumford & Grandsons, probably.
Yeah, probably. If I could finish this sentence, by the time that they're playing a reunion tour at a casino, like 50 years from now, I'd be like, oh man, it's good to hear all those old tunes again, but boy... nothing is more cruel than the unforgiving hand of time.
Yeah.
Maybe like, weep little lamb.
Stop.
I will wait. Oh, yeah.
I will say I'm okay. I'm okay with Han being here.
Yeah. No, me too.
He does play a big role narratively.
Certainly.
I mean, it is a big deal to find out that his son is Kylo Ren.
Certainly.
With Leia. Mm-hmm. Very much explaining why Kylo has the Force. Because he's a Skywalker, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Which is making me think Rise of Skywalker could be about Kylo.
I definitely think what we're going to end up with is the title means it's the rise of the Skywalker blood in him sort of overcoming the dark side, I think.
Amazing.
That's my guess.
To fight alongside his cousin.
Or to fight his cousin, if you believe some of the stills.
To fight his sister.
to fight himself, his twin. His twin. I'm just making things
friends
up.
Of the family.
Bylo Ben.
So, I hate the alien monsters.
Yeah.
Super dump.
This is such a waste of time.
Why is it here?
It feels out of place. I like
Rath-Tars it. Rath-Tars and the Conja Club. Just... What are we doing?
Yeah.
I did. I laughed out loud when Han was like, I've never let you down. Like, yes, you have twice. He goes, when was the second time?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good line.
That is good.
Oh, for sure.
That is good. This feels like a big detour. Even as I'm watching it, feels like a big detour.
Huge.
If
I were watching it for fun and not for the podcast, I would skip this part.
I get why it's necessary, though, because we need something. I feel like we need something to get them on the same side because before this, Han is ready to just drop them off of the next planet.
Right.
Put them in a life pod, shoot them out the side of the ship. Yep. We need something to get them all together in the Falcon, Han willing to take them to Maz and drop them off there.
Yeah, I think...
But I feel like we could streamline this whole thing. We don't need Rath-Tars.
I think there's a way to do it without all this.
Yeah.
The Rath-Tars, the Force Awakens trash compactor...
I think it is less the Force Awakens trash compactor, more like the Force Awakens asteroid slug.
Well played.
I can see that too.
Well played. I dig it. It's fun too to kind of, you know, you start to think production wise, maybe that's like a let's flex our muscles with a creature kind of thing. Cause both of those feel like they fall into the same thing.
Bad move.
Yeah. These don't look good.
Mm-mm. Oh no. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it needs to.
They don't look Star Wars to me.
Mm-mm.
Like,
they don't. They look like the creature that the Guardians fight at the beginning of Guardians 2.
100% they do.
They look exactly like that thing with the that's after the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Interdimensional octopus thing coming to eat the batteries.
Yep. 100%. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't love it. That. Super dumb for sure.
Yep.
Least favorite part of this whole movie.
So boring.
So let's go to Maz Kanata's planet.
Yeah.
Well, Kylo has a bunch of hissy fits.
Uh-huh.
This is... Can my super dumb be Hayden Christensen again? This is the way he was supposed to be. This is so much the way Hayden was supposed to
100%.
Be.
100%.
I disagree. I don't think this is what... I think Hayden was intended to demonstrate an excess of virtue. That
No,
that,
the whininess, I think,
that
for me.
Failed in a couple of seconds.
Sure.
I don't think Hayden was ever intended to be whiny.
No, but when he's whiny,
that's true.
I think this is the version of the whiny that works. So instead of
fair.
Everything's terrible. It's in a fit of rage. I'm going to break everything because who cares? I'm Kylo Ren.
What's tough to me, and you know, it's I think Kylo is supposed to also. I mean, because we're technically comparing him to his grandfather,
right
now. So I think he is supposed to be a little more off the cuff than Anakin. And not because he really, I mean, I don't know. He also was being trained by a Jedi on the good side and all that. And we just don't really see much of that story.
Yeah.
But I just feel like he threw a fit. He threw the kind of fit that made me be like, dude, like I was scared of that. I just never got scared of Darth Vader until he put the helmet back on.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's the part of it too. And again,
I hear that.
I tend to do this. I did this with so many, like Daniel Radcliffe. I did this with Taylor Lautner. I really hold on to the guys that just really did an awful job acting and give them no grace, but
talking to
me.
Vader's melted helmet is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like the idea that he has hung on to this souvenir of who he has idolized his grandfather to
be. He's wearing a Vader Halloween costume.
Right.
Like he's really doing the same thing.
Right. He's
cosplaying. Wants to be Vader.
Yeah. No, that's really good.
Yeah.
So Maz Kanata's planet.
Mm-hmm. Taco Donna.
This is so good. It's Taco Diner, I think.
Oh, yeah, probably.
This is a really great
Oreo
place.
Loco taco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love all the flags.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It feels very like.
Catch that Mandalorian flag.
Oh,
right
big time. It's dead center, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very like neutral land. Like everyone's welcome here kind
That's
of a
the
thing.
Whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that like the Empire, as long as you don't bring the Empire to the door, there is like.
Come on in.
No violence allowed inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
or
I love
I guess
that.
The First Order, which.
There's a statue of her, which is a testament to her age, which we hear she's maybe 1,000 years old.
She's been running that place for 1,000 years.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Great character design, honestly. Uh-huh.
It's kind of cantina-y and
it's
very
supposed
fun.
To be.
Man, mm-hmm. That droid that has the old ribbon microphone for a mouth.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I love it.
Love that.
Super Star Wars-y.
I love it.
Yeah.
This whole thing is just great.
Yeah.
Finn panicking, deciding that he might try and leave.
Yeah.
We get to see Han have an affinity for Rey, which is cool. Just like
it's sweet.
Yeah, it is really sweet.
Like
and
that.
She needs that. She needs some support, somebody to say like, hey, you're okay. But she gets the lightsaber.
Dump.
Really?
Yeah. Why does Maz have that?
Well, okay. If it's never answered, then I will dump alongside.
You think that's going to be answered in Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah, I do.
I'll buy you dinner before. The next time we're together. After that movie,
don't you owe me dinner for something? Don't you owe me torchies for something?
No, you owe me torchies because you predicted the ending of Game of Thrones.
No, you owe me torchies that because you mispredicted the end of Game of Thrones.
I don't think that's true.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's funny. So you can just owe me 2 torchies.
That's fine. Or cancel it out.
Yeah. Okay.
Double or nothing.
Double or nothing.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Big time.
And if it doesn't get answered, you owe me 2 torchies.
I don't think that's what Double or Nothing is it?
You know how we do like a minute clip from every episode?
Yeah.
Then we have to have this.
It'll
before Last Jedi.
Yeah.
To revisit this. I want this bet to be lived out.
Yeah.
I think everyone who's listening wants that too.
Yeah. I think it's great.
Okay. My bet is that will not be answered.
We will not find out. Okay. Let's get technical here.
We will not find out why Maz Kanata has Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber.
We will find out why Maz Kanata had Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber.
Okay.
All right.
There we go. Easy does it. So she does, and Rey gets it. We hear Obi-Wan say...
Which is a mixture. Did you read this?
Yeah.
A mixture of Alec Guinness and Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
Love that.
Rey, these are your first steps.
Mm-hmm.
That is something else I would love answered.
Well, why is it Obi-Wan?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's because he said that to Luke, you've taken your first steps into a larger world.
So you think this is Force Ghost? This is not a memory. This is a Force Ghost of Obi-Wan saying, hey, Rey, these are your first steps.
Was Obi-Wan the first one that we heard?
No, Obi-Wan was the last one that we heard. Yoda's the first voice
that
we heard.
How significant? Because she's a Kenobi.
She's not.
I would love for her to be a Kenobi.
If we find out, Rey's a Kenobi.
We all owe Carter torchies.
She's not. She's super not.
I would really love for her to, but I think I'm kind of in
your
camp.
Here's the deal, though, is that she's clearly somebody.
Yeah.
Like this movie, and we'll talk more about the apparent genius of subverting expectations for subversion's sake. This movie sets up Rey as somebody with a capital S. When they say there's a girl on Jakku, they know the girl they're talking about.
Right.
She's not a nobody on Jakku.
Right.
So, yeah, it's tough to put so much weight on something one character told her.
Sure.
In what happens after this. A character that, on a list of trustworthy characters in probably this universe,
to the
probably close to the bottom.
Yeah, right.
To just try and make her mad and come to the dark side.
It's fair.
But we'll see. Could be wrong. I hope she's somebody.
Why do she's somebody to me.
That's going to be a huge conversation in Last Jedi.
She's somebody to me. Mm-hmm. The First Order attacks Maz Kanata's cantina.
Blows it up, man.
Blows it sky high.
Big time.
No holding back. This carried more weight to me, probably because it's four more planets than what we saw get blown up in New Hope.
Oh, we're talking about when they blow up the Hosnian
just
system?
Everything. Mm-hmm. And wow.
Yeah.
Just wild.
Yeah.
Wild. Do we get to go to that ship right now? Because I think it goes back and forth a little bit between these last two planets, right?
Yeah, you're talking about with like the speech that General Hux gives.
Amazing.
Yeah, so good.
Hey, I really don't like Hux.
Oh,
like
really?
Hux? That character should be older. I think that character should not be the same age as Kylo. That character makes a lot more sense to me if he's somebody who's been serving in the First Order since before Kylo rose to this position. And that's why he's at ideological odds with Kylo. He's like, listen, you're a kid. You don't get it.
Right.
This is how things work in the First Order. And that's why they're at ideological odds. Mm. Positioning them as the same age makes those lines a little blurry to me and doesn't make sense. It feels like more of a...
They're the exact same age, by the way.
Feels like more of a condescending brother thing, which doesn't work for Kylo.
Right.
Because Kylo's whole thing, I feel like, should be against that kind of authority.
Sure.
Right? That he feels like he deserves the authority because he's Darth Vader's grandson.
Right.
So this should be somebody older, like not Han's age and not Tarkin's age or something in Rogue One, but this should be somebody older, I think, than Domhnall Gleeson.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I don't think it bothers me in that way, but I definitely hear where you're coming from, that it would help define sort of the differences between
them. Sure.
Well,
and
I
feel like that gives us a greater variance in our cast where we can kind of see levels. It's like in a family picture where it's like, move your head where you can see the photographer, find a window, right? Like everybody needs to find their window because we can't have a cast full of late 20s, early 30s people and say, this is representative of a slice of this universe.
Right.
Like we need a little more diversity in that.
Yeah.
I see that.
Well, Maz is over 1,000.
That's true.
Which by the way, Lupita is the same age as Maz.
As Maz.
Yeah, that's good. His speech is awesome though.
Yeah, it is good.
Oh,
you can't
so
deny
menacing.
That.
It is so menacing. Mm. The fact that it's just this massive 5 mile. I mean, it's more than that.
Yeah.
Just the huge red laser coming out of the ground with them all around it.
Scurry.
The physics of that are a little weird, that they can see it from Taco Donna's surface, that it travels. You can watch it travel across the sky. Like that is many millions of times faster than the speed of light.
It's yep.
Laser beams.
It's tough to call physics.
No,
I
am not calling physics at all.
Yeah.
Laser beams.
Just saying that's the moment where it's like, oh yeah, this is fantasy, not science.
Well, part of me thinks too, if that has the power to blow up planets, why is it not melting faces right there?
Like, yes, exactly.
Temple of Dooming.
Close to the sun. Like it is the sun.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
No, that's fair.
Sure makes for some pretty shots though.
Yeah, it does. It's really cool.
So the First Order invades. Kylo's there. They're searching for the girl and the droid and the Finn.
Speaking of other droid, I mean, we have a moment where Leia and Han see each other, right? Or does that come later?
That's after this.
We're talking about the First Order versus the Resistance.
Got it.
Right.
Every time the X-Wings across the water get super emotional.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
100%.
Yep.
It is the coolest shot. We get Poe back. We know that he has survived his ordeal.
Yep.
Which is good. He's one heck cuss of a pilot. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
So I love that everybody keeps calling Finn traitor.
Yeah.
I love that he fights with the lightsaber like I would swing a baseball bat at a burglar.
Like he's never held one.
Right. Just like, wildly flailing.
And it's fine. It does give him enough like he's been in the military and has been trained with weapons. So it's like, okay, he can kind of hold up a fight. But of course, he does get destroyed by Kylo later. So that made sense to me.
So Kylo takes Rey
back
to his ship, well, their station. And everybody's real bummed about it. I mean, they're real sad. But we see Leia again. Uh-huh. And C-3PO, you might not have recognized
him. Super dope.
What?
C-3PO. Okay.
Oh, really?
Why on earth? Because we had to check every box? Like, he does nothing except say, like, explain, which that does have a little weight later that we see R2 come to life because he's saving his power for Luke. C-3PO doesn't need to say it. I don't think we need him. Like, try something new and have him come in another one and be like, where's 3PO? Or do they think people were just going to be that much? 3PO is for sure fan service. Can anybody argue that?
Oh, no, my gosh. 100%
fan service.
And he's continued to be that. I don't know. It just bothered me so much.
Huh. Yeah. He's not really given a lot to do in this. He's barely in the next one.
Yeah.
It doesn't it bother me.
Like, he's in it enough that we can put him on the poster and say, see, it's Star Wars.
I mean, Leia's there. So it's assumed he hung around. So maybe that's a little bit more.
I view him as Leia's Pomeranian.
Sure.
Like, it's just like, Leia's there, so 3PO is going to be there because Leia's there.
I guess.
That's how it goes. Doesn't bother me. But I hear you. 100%. I hear you.
Yeah.
So they hatch a plan. They approach Starkiller Base at light speed, which is awesome. They get through the shields, and they go to rescue Rey.
How do y'all feel about Starkiller Base being another bigger Death Star?
It's awesome. I don't know.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. It does also just feel like a flex of production quality.
Yeah.
It's like we came back and it's bigger and better than
exactly.
before.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so that is a little tough.
I'll take any opportunity for another trench run.
Honestly, I think in the world, I don't know. It feels like in that world, if you see a massive spherical battle station, they're going to call it. They're going to reference to it in that world as being like the Death Star. Like, it's a newer, bigger Death Star.
Yeah.
And it has a similar, like, it's doing the same things. But it being an actual planet vibe and then, like, sucking up the sun. There was enough.
It actually eats stars. Causes the death of stars, which is pretty funny.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
But I think it could have been neat to see another creative, menacing, massive weapon.
I agree. I think there's a way to undercut the Death Star without it being super Death Star.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because, like, it's clear that that's the goal, to make something more powerful than the Death Star.
Right.
Sure.
But it doesn't have to be super Death Star.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It just always kind of bugged
me. Well, to me, I think if Star Wars, the main, like, saga stories are about political and military power fighting one another, then this is the battleship of the stars. Sure. Like, this is the battleship of space.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep making a bigger one until they win. And I think that's how it goes. You know, there's a part of me that would love to see a Star Wars storyline where the main threat was a Sith invasion. They've been secretly training more than two, breaking their own rules, and have a ton of them. And then they're sending them out across the galaxy to go cause havoc. But that's not what the sagas are about, kind of a thing. That's not the political and military structure of the saga stories that we know. And so, you know, there's a part of me that's like, I would love to see something different like that. But again, the Death Star is the aircraft carrier. I don't know, ships, but you know what I mean? Like, it's the battleship of space.
Sure.
And so, it doesn't bother me. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe I wish it was a pentagon or a hexagon instead. I don't know.
We go Pokeball.
Again,
let's talk about Daniel Craig.
Any trench runs I can get. Daniel Craig's a stormtrooper here.
He is, yeah. Uh-huh. He's the one Rey mind tricks.
Yeah, he's the dropping my weapon.
Yep.
He's that one.
I don't love that Rey immediately mind tricks him.
Yeah. But she's copying what she's seen. I don't know.
When has she seen that?
He just tried it on her.
Kylo didn't mind trick her like that.
Well, not mind trick her, but he did manipulate her mind.
Kylo, to be clear, it's a totally different thing.
Sure.
Right? That's just always bugged me a little bit. Of like, where did you get that idea?
It's tough. To me, what I got from that, and again, I don't think there's any proof as to like who's right or wrong in these conversations. Like, it felt like, I mean, we saw her put a hash mark up with a hash mark for maybe every day since she was 5. Like, this is someone who's been waiting to be something. And I think the moment she catches drift or something she's a fan of, like, maybe there's something that, I don't know. She's very open to just let it happen.
Yeah.
I think she's very open to just give it a shot and really start to feel that. I don't know. It's like, Okay, this is going to be a reference for sports fans out there. I'm sorry if y'all check out right now.
I'm gone, already gone.
Tim Duncan. Have you heard that name?
I do know who he is.
San Antonio Spurs, all-star. Multiple NBA championships.
Jay Greger would kill me if I didn't know him.
Did not play much basketball until he was discovered, I think, by either the staff or by actually Greg Popovich, the coach. Hmm. Like, Tim Duncan was like a swimmer from what I heard. And then they're like, man, you would play some good basketball. Like, he was just built for it. And then he starts playing basketball. And then a few years later, like, he's an all-star, right? So there, and I'll go back and double check that because I could be totally wrong. Like, it would stink to be like, I'm kind of the sports guy of the podcast and get that totally wrong.
But you'd still be the sports guy.
The metaphor, the easiest podcast to be the sports guy of.
The metaphor exists because it's like, she's always kind of been capable. And then now that she's caught any whiff of that capability, she's a natural. Yeah. And I believe in being a natural. Like, I believe in someone just being able to just give it a shot and be better than you. I know so Mike Trozo, who we interviewed, is better than me at so many things. Like, we just had dinner together and we're walking away from this place that's got all these like yard games and stuff out. And he goes, hey, Carter. And I turn around and I know he's going to make that. He's just throwing a bag randomly to cornhole board and almost made it from like 50 feet away. Like, that kind of person. Yeah. And so I'm like, whatever, dude. And so it feels like the kind of thing. And I think the fact that she does that so easily plays into the narrative. Kylo is so upset.
Yeah.
That she's doing all of this when he has dedicated his life to be good at that.
Yeah.
And now she walks in and does it on her first try and he can't get the information out of her.
Yeah.
She reads his mind. Unreal.
Yeah.
I hear that. It's a little bit like if Tim Duncan didn't know what basketball was, though. And they're like, oh, we'll just try it. And then he goes and dunks the ball and knows all the rules of basketball now. Yeah. You know, like, if
I thought it was alluded that she knew about, like, at least had heard of the Force.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. I think if for me, like, I would just have preferred that to be a little more overt. Yeah. Like, a Finn catches up to them before they leave the planet and Kylo mind tricks him. Kylo's like, you're going to let us pass. And Finn's like, I'm going to let you pass, and just lets them walk. And she's betrayed by her friend, right?
Yeah.
That's another layer that.
And then she's like, let me try that too.
Yeah.
No, I hear that. That makes sense to me.
I totally hear that.
Anyway.
So they bust in. They bust her out.
Yeah.
Han gets dead.
Yeah.
That it makes me sad.
It makes me sad too. That was kind of a dump on how everyone just gets to watch that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the door happens to open. And again, I already talked about how I'm totally fine with the Millennium Falcon being randomly there for them to fly off, right? So I should be okay with them walking in to see Han die.
Right.
And that really affect them to see their reactions, which they do a great job. I mean, it was up there with Gimli seeing Gandalf fall down.
Yeah.
Similar chasm. But I don't know. It's excellent acting by Adam Driver right
here.
Big time.
Oh my goodness.
He's like, can you help me? Like, it's wow. And it's tough too, because I think the way he delivers Kylo Ren, I don't know when he's being genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I think that's what's supposed to be happening.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's like, are you just really awful? Or was it just,
or are you struggling for real?
I'm actually going to, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a thing that we do, and I know we're running short on time, so I'll try to keep it brief. There's a thing that happens with our heroes of the original trilogy in that we present their victory as not enough to save the galaxy.
Yeah.
And we arc Han to this really dark place that undoes a lot of his character motivation of like learning to be a team player and learning to be part of a team, learning to care about something bigger than himself. And then something bad happens and he's just gone. And then especially with a certain character being revealed in the trailers for Rise of Skywalker, it really seems like pretty on the nose that their victory wasn't enough. And something about that just feels weird to me. And it crops up here. It's going to crop up big time in The Last Jedi.
It's tough.
At least I think so. And I don't know. I was trying to even find a parallel for it, talking to Jess about it last night after we finished the movie, of almost like, imagine if 30 years from now they made Avengers Endgame 2 and like Thanos has been alive the whole time. But
that's great. Yeah,
the team has fallen apart and like Spider-Man was married to MJ and now they're divorced because they had a bad time. And like, it's just like all these like dark places that we've taken these happy heroes since the last time we've seen them. And something about it just feels weird to me.
Yeah.
And I get that like to make a sequel necessarily there has to be some conflict left after the victory.
Well, that kind of stuff happens in Gotham, right? Like that's, there's a place for things like that.
Yeah.
You know, where the love interest gets blown up by the Joker.
Yeah.
Definitely did not see that coming, but then it's part of like, well, that kind of adds to this poor dude is just so lonely and broken. And yeah, it does feel, it does stink because the 4, 5, and 6 didn't, I mean, did they know? Cause I remember, didn't you say Spielberg said, call it episode 4? Who did you say influenced it calling episode 4? And did we always know there would be 9?
So George is kind of back and forth on that. When he made Star Wars, up until the day that it released, it was considered by him and the studio to be a huge flop. And it was going to be the only movie he ever made. It released and obviously did crazy numbers on Memorial Day weekend in 1977. And so he made another one. And then at that point, he started to tell people, well, I've always had a plan for 9 of these.
Mm.
And I don't think that he had.
It's a business show. Yeah. I mean, I could totally see.
Yeah. I always had a plan for 9 of these. And this is the middle set of 3.
Yeah. My only thing that like just to play both sides, because I'll tell you, like, I almost 100% agree with you on that. Like, I think that's tough to see. And I don't think that there's really a place for it to be like, well, that's life, man. But no, it's Star Wars. It's like Star it's supposed to kind of be outside of that. But for as long as they knew there would be 7, 8, 9, especially for those that started writing 7, it's like, so do we just, would it be more offensive to introduce new evil than the whole 9 episodes is about beating that same evil? Ultimately?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, either, man.
I really don't.
It's sequels to a large extent. We talked about it before on the show. Sequels have to justify their own existence. They have to raise the narrative stakes in a believable way such that the actions of the narrative feel like the logical and inevitable yet unexpected consequence of the events that happened before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And great.
I think creating a new evil cheapens it more than continuing the struggle against the same evil when the same evil is the dark side and not any specific one person.
Yeah. We did that in the Timothy Zahn novels with the Yuuzhan Vong. This is not canon anymore, but they're a species from outside this galaxy, from a neighboring galaxy that have come and were waiting for the Empire to be defeated to invade. And that's like what the earliest drafts of episode 7, 8, 9 type of material were. It was some novels back a number of years ago. And so we've done that before and people really didn't love that.
Yeah.
And Star Wars fans, I feel like as a whole, really don't love this either. Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's just tricky.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that really.
Yeah. We might be able to make more of an excuse with the evil itself than actually losing our heroes in that way. Like,
yeah, I just don't feel like we're losing our hero with Han. It feels like he is still a good guy that lost relationship with some people because something went south. And like he says, I was only ever really good at one thing. And so I went and did that because I lost the people I cared about.
Yeah. If somebody's going to screw up, it's someone who grew up living that lifestyle.
To me, it's not like all of Han's growth is diminished because he went back to the thing he used to do. Cause I think he went back to the thing he used to do because he lost the things that caused the growth.
Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah. I certainly think that's valid.
Like if we get, and I think enough people have seen the series and we can cut it out, but like it's Sidious that we're related to in episode 9. I mean, if that is the case, then the evil narrative is the same it is in Harry Potter and the same it is in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate evil got real weak for a long time. And then is having
sure.
this massive plan to come back and have one final go at it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. It's all interesting. And a lot of it's going to be made or broken on episode 9.
Yes.
Which is tough.
Yep.
And old JJ.
He's got to know.
I feel like he's got to feel more pressure making 9 than making 7.
Absolutely. I think so.
Yeah. So Rey and Kylo fight in the woods. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's very good.
It's so good.
The lightsabers look incredible.
People get cut up.
Yeah, big time.
That should happen a long time.
Finn gets sliced from cheeks to forehead, basically.
Surprise, no arms were lost?
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
That's this one and Phantom, no arms.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
It's crazy, man. And Finn is saved. Rey is saved. Rey takes the Millennium Falcon.
I would love to bring up, too, the fact that, like, it feels like the Force just made that chasm between them. Like the planet is obviously falling apart.
Right, but it's very fatey.
Very fatey.
Very fatey.
It's a
really British accent. But like it just feels like this is the antagonist and protagonist that is fueled by the universe. Like, it's like,
yeah, right,
everything, yeah, plays.
Well, and when it they felt fight, like the Force said, it's not ready. You're,
yeah,
not ready.
Yeah.
It's not,
yeah,
time yet.
Yeah. And it feels like a lot of their fights are going to end up being kind of elemental. Like, yeah, there's these big things happening in the world around them. Like, even seeing the trailer for episode 9, now they're out in a sea. Like, this is, I'm so excited to see the narrative, like the comparison between that and when we have Anakin and Obi-Wan,
yeah,
in the lava. Mm-hmm. Like, they seem to just put you in a place that, and movies do that a lot, right? There's big battles that are in these, even the environment is like, oh, it's like you're playing Smash Bros. And it's a map you've never been on before.
Yeah.
It's also in play and it's shooting stuff at you. But
right,
I really love that about their fight.
No, that's good stuff. So Rey takes the Millennium Falcon and
we've been back to see Leia, right?
Yeah, we go back
and she's
Leia.
Ignored Chewie, right?
She's what?
She's ignored Chewie.
Yeah, she ignored Chewie.
That sucks. That's wild. She hugs Rey.
Yeah.
Who she's never met.
Yeah. That is weird. They interact like they know each other.
They've never met right now.
The ignoring of Chewie.
They feel the Force. They
we
just
can't,
know.
We can't show every hug. The ignoring of Chewie doesn't bother me so much.
Leia. I mean, it's a grand tradition of Leia ignoring Chewie.
They know each other because it's Leia who dropped Rey off on behalf of Obi-Wan.
She was like, I'll take her.
I'll do it. You helped me deliver my children. I will help deliver your children.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Sorry, guys.
Torchy's riding on it. So
I actually was never in a bed. So.
She goes to Skellig. Is that the name of the?
Sure.
Ahch-To.
Is Skellig the name of the actual island? Did I accidentally name the island actual island? Life. That's funny.
What a nerd.
Yeah.
So she goes there. She sees Luke Skywalker and she extends the lightsaber to him. And then.
Dump.
You don't like it?
This ending is half of a beat. Beats are the atomic unit of story. And this is half of a beat. Each beat of a story has a beginning, middle, and an end. This beat has a beginning and a middle and then no end. We could say the end is the non-ending, but that is really postmodern and kind of a cop-out. There should be something that happens as a result of Rey extending this lightsaber. Luke should say...
No? Like what he does at the beginning of the next one?
Let's not talk about what he does with that lightsaber at the beginning of the next one. Luke should say, hello, Rey. It's been a long time. Or, I wasn't expecting you. Or something. Like, we need something to close that out. Otherwise, it feels like... Like that moment, do we think that lasted that long? Like in the frame of the movie, I know that the shots last a long time, but we get like a minute, 40 seconds of Rey just holding out the lightsaber with Luke saying nothing. Do we think that's real time or that's movie time of just showing the same moment and stretching it long and long and long and long and long until we can have our closing credits?
Doesn't bother me at all.
That's valid.
No.
I don't know why it doesn't, because everything that you're saying, I'm like, yeah, it's pretty crazy that we linger that long on her, like doing that. Doesn't bother me. I don't know. I haven't thought about it as much because it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I guess you get full beats.
Mostly from the Black Eyed Peas for me.
Stop. With the other movies.
Yeah.
But I almost prefer a cliffhanger over just like, yay, bye. I don't know. I totally get what you're saying.
I think he can still be a cliffhanger, though, if he's like,
because there's.
I've been waiting a long time.
What if Luke was just like, and then it ended on his breath?
Avengers. And then cut.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I get that.
Shall we rate this movie?
We shall.
Here at Two Chunks and a Hunk, we've perfected the art of rating movies using the scientific cinema scale with science. And it is as follows. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it. Don't lend it. Buy that poster. The next best thing, that's going to be buy it. After that is rent it, followed by stream it, and then forget it. And last, but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
I can start.
Okay. Yes.
I buy this poster. Mm-hmm. I buy the poster for mm-hmm. this movie. It is... Okay. It's so interesting. I think in Oscars a lot, and that's
like movie, Oscar Isaac, yeah, Oscar yeah, the Grouch.
Yeah. Movies aren't necessarily their accolades. A lot of my favorite movies and even good storytelling did not get nominated for stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
So A New Hope had 10 nominations.
Right.
And it won 6 Oscars. And I think that is so much because a lot of things like the stuff that they won with sound editing and stuff like that was like by far and away.
Yeah.
It was like Michael Jordan came and started playing with a high school basketball team.
Right.
Like it was just like, what is happening? But this
one, basketball talk these last couple of weeks.
There is.
It's America's game.
This is a movie. Like, this is a well-made movie.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And the reason I bring up the 10 nominations for A New Hope, I think that's because it changed the world.
Right.
This is the best made movie that we've talked about so far.
Yeah.
Probably in the series.
Like, yeah.
It is really, really well done. And I think it is edited really well. Like, everything about it. I love the new characters. I can't imagine the immense pressure. This feels very much, there's a different feeling of like something like A New Hope and then something like Avengers Endgame. Like this right. feels like, how did you put these pieces? You pulled it off. And wow, like you get more kudos to me for being able to be that creative. That's a different kind of creativity. And J.J. Abrams does a really good job.
Weird. I'm also buying this poster.
Nice.
Yeah. I am shocked that that's my answer. I've always liked this movie. I've even loved this movie. But what I'm realizing is that I really love this movie. To me, it is just a new, different Star Wars. And I'm here for it. I'm about it. Plus, I've seen the actual poster and it's awesome. And I would like to actually hang it in my home.
It's a good one. It's a good poster.
It's a really good poster. Yeah, I'm buying this poster. I love it.
I'm Doge. And I don't ever say my name here, so I don't know why I did. My first date with my wife was on a Thursday night at Chaps Burgers.
Oh, man, I forgot about Chaps.
Arlington. Ryan beef.
You guys know about Chaps Burgers.
Yes. Got to get that fried okra as a side, baby.
You know I did. And neither of us was dressed particularly well. Mm-hmm. Jess, if you're listening, I'm so sorry.
First she's heard of it.
I know for
she's
a fact
in like
that
a giraffe costume.
I know for a fact that she hadn't showered in a couple of days, so she was wearing a beanie.
Yeah.
Because college, uh-huh. You know how it is when uh-huh. you're no, those yeah, learning yeah, boys yeah, and yeah. girls. And that was a great time. And if we had not gotten married a little over 2 years later, almost I guess a year and a half later, I did just try to re-say that, and they're making me use the one where my voice cracked. If we had not gotten married the next summer, I would look back on that as just a regular date.
Okay.
But now that we're married, I look back on that being like, man, that was a good burger. And it was an incredible date.
Love it.
For The Force Awakens, I am going to buy it.
Okay.
The Force Awakens makes a lot of promises. And we'll see if my opinion changes. As it stands right now, my opinion is that a lot of those promises were either ignored or completely shut down.
Except for the lightsaber.
By the next one. And so depending on how The Rise of Skywalker answers these promises, I'm prepared when we rate that movie to go back and change my rating of this. This could be a poster
I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you.
This could be a poster so easily for me if these promises are fulfilled.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I could have been a part of this think tank when they were starting to think about nine. Because, I mean, it's JJ again, right?
Right.
So it's the same guy. So what, do we still have tongue-in-cheek stuff again? Like how we think he did to say this is going to correct
Does he everything? Remember how to make movies
that
anymore?
Guy comes back from the day, is like, no, this will actually
this
correct.
This will begin to
not necessarily everything. Right. Number 7 was great, but this wasn't going to correct 8. But like, yeah. How exciting for him. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Like, can you even imagine now? I'm already putting myself in the theater on December 20th.
I'm nervous. I'm so nervous.
Very, very nervous.
Do you think you'll be more nervous than Endgame?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Because I've loved Star Wars as long as I can remember. And I've loved the MCU since 2008.
Yeah. And outside of knowing all the content that's on its way for Star Wars, there's a definitive feeling.
Star Wars movies are taking a hiatus, extended hiatus after 9, and they're focusing on things like The Mandalorian Season 2, Clone Wars Season 7, the Obi-Wan show, the Cassian Andor show.
Which is Ewan, right?
It mm-hmm. is Ewan, and we'll get to it later at some point, but it is my opinion that Star Wars works best on TV now, not in the theater.
I think so, too. Hmm. I think epics in general. I'm excited to see a lot of stuff like Amazon's Lord of the Rings, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, man.
Make sure you tune in next week when we talk about Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
The Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Got it.
That's the one.
That episode will for sure be a normal length, not like this ultra-sode.
Yeah, it's this okay. is the DX director's cut.
This is the for Irishman sure. version of
yeah.
Two Chunks and a Hunk 2 Adventure Battle DX.
It is that. It is that. To end today's episode, I'd like for us each to say our name.
Carter.
Doge.
And what our first order villain name would be. And for this, we are going to use a Star Wars name generator.
Ooh.
For Two Chunks and a Hunk, my name is Jordan Wonders, but actually, it's Wade Bob Atwatch.
I'm Doge. Star Wars last name, Moiloft. First name, Leo Doug.
This one says Sam Neill.
Like the actor, Sam Neill.
What's that up? Just the first name.
I haven't even said mine. And I'm Carter. And my name sounds like someone grabbed an elephant by the trunk. It started speaking. My name is Crisprin Jeff Moore.
This one on here says Heatlin Jabba Hall.
Jamjet Woolgib.
Oscar Simpin.
Danny Max It'll Derb.
J Dilo Elf Heel. Rom Corey Malimimum.
Ram Neil Boseve.
Durjo Dimtel. Hey, everybody. I'm Durjo Dimtel.
I'm Aid Malk Bro Marv.
Blerica!
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.